We are up to the fourth chapter of Hilchis Tshuva. Chapters 1 and 2 of Hilchis Tshuva, the Rambam dedicated to discuss what is Tshuva? How do you do Tshuva? What are the halachas of Tshuva? When do you do Tshuva? What is complete Tshuva? Chapter 3, the Rambam discussed what is a tzaddik, a beinoni, a rasha, what happens on Rosh Hashanah, what happens after a person passes away, the person's ability to affect and change the whole world, how our sins are removed, and the 24 types of people who forfeit their chelik in Olam Haba. Chapter 4, the Rambam is going to discuss 24 unique sins that could naturally prevent a person from doing tshuva. Yes, as he says at the end, if you try hard and you put an extra effort, nothing can obstruct your path of tshuva. But these are 24 things that naturally will make it far more difficult for a person to do tshuva. These 24, he divides into a few categories. The first category consists of 4 sins, which will dull the human being's sensitivity and inspiration and motivation to do tshuva. The next group of 5 are certain behaviors that a person introduces into his life. He separates himself from people and influences that would have inspired him and taught him how to do tshuva. The next group of 5 are types of sins for which it is very difficult to make full amends and therefore to do complete tshuva. The next group of 5 sins are those things that people will likely not do tshuva for because we don't take them seriously. We dismiss them as insignificant and valueless sins. And then there is the last group of 5, which are sins that are extremely addictive and therefore very difficult to separate from. This is how he divides the 24 items that will be discussed in chapter 4. Perik Revi Halacha Aleph. Estim Varba Dvarim Akvin Es HaTshuva. There are 24 things that can easily prevent a person from ever repenting. Arba Mehen. The first 4 of them, Avoin Gadol, constitute a great transgression. Va'isa Echad Me Arba'atan En HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maspik B'yadil Azaz Tshuva L'fi Goydil Chetai. And somebody who commits one of these 4, Hashem will not motivate him or help him do tshuva. Usually, Hashem, through different clandestine and revealed forces and messages, tries to inspire somebody to do tshuva and helps you along your journey. But here, Hashem will not help him specifically do tshuva, even though, as Rambam will say later, if he tries hard, he can always do tshuva. Based on the magnitude of the sin, Hashem will not help him. The Elohein, here is the list of the first 4. Aleph Hamachtiyas Harabim. Somebody who doesn't only commit a sin himself, but rather he causes the masses, the public, to engage in sin. Ubichlal avoin zeh, included in this sin is hama'akev es harabim milaseis mitzvah, somebody who prevents the community from engaging in a positive mitzvah. Beis number 2, v'hamata chaverim miderech tov l'derech ra, somebody who incites his friend and brings him from the good path and leads him down a destructive path. Kigoin meisis umediach, as a meisis umediach, which is somebody who incites an individual or individuals or an entire city to engage in avodah zarah, as discussed in Hilchos Avodah Zarah chapters 4 and 5. Gimel, v'haraya b'noi b'tarbus ravein emachah b'yadei, somebody who sees his own child destroying his life, following a path of destruction, but he doesn't say anything. He believes in permissive parenthood, no boundaries, no education, no restrictions. He will not say any words of rebuke, since his child is under his domain. If he would have shared with his child the right from wrong, his child may have refrained from going down this toxic, immoral path. It comes out that the father is indirectly causing him to destroy his life. Included in this sin is anyone who has the potential to guide other people, to stop them from doing things that may be destructive and immoral, bein rabim, bein yichidim, whether it's a community, it's many people, or it's individuals, v'loy micha. But the person decides, I'm going to remain isolated in my own cocoon, I'm going to choose the path of passivity and silence, I'm not getting involved. I have the ability to speak up. I have influence. I could communicate the truth, and the individual or individuals or the many may listen, but I don't. He allows them to stumble and fail. In a way, he shares in the culpability because we are responsible for each other. We are integrated with each other. We are interconnected with each other. I can't just live life onto myself and be apathetic to the fate of the people around me. I am responsible to guide, to mentor, to share, to inspire, to motivate, to mend, to rebuke. Dalit v'ha'omer, the one who says, echt v'ashuv. I'll sin, and then I'll do tshuva. Ubechlal zeh, included in this, is ha'omer, somebody who says, Ech, to b'yom ha'kippur u'mechaper. I'll sin. Yom Kippur is around the corner. Yom Kippur will atone. These are the 4 types of sins, the Rambam says, which will make it difficult for a person to do tshuva because Hashem does not help this person do tshuva. Halacha beis. Umehen, from these 24, there's chamisha dvarim, there are five things, hey noyal in darkei tshuva b'fnei yeseya. There are five types of sins that will seal the path to tshuva before those who commit these five. Ve'eluhen. Here is the list of these five. Aleph, ha-poyrish min atzibur. Somebody who separates from the community of the Jewish people. Lefisha bizman sheyasu tshuva lo yiyimon. When they're inspired, he won't be part of them. He is a person who segregates himself from the community. Ve'ein ezeche man bizchuyus she'oysen. Nor will he share with them in the merit for the great merits that they do. He's living a lonely and isolated life. Beis hachaylik al divrei chachamim. Somebody who fights and contradicts the words of the sages. Lefisha machlukasoi. Goyremes loy lifresh men ve'ni yedei darki ha-tshuva. Because since this person is confrontational and he always has to argue with all of the sages and fight with them and bicker with them and contradict them, what happens? He can't listen to them. He separates from them and therefore he will never learn the paths of tshuva. Even if they will communicate to him and they will teach him and they will inspire him, he could never internalize or absorb their words. It'll be very difficult for him to do tshuva. Gimel, v'hamalig ala mitzvahs, somebody who scoffs on the mitzvahs. Shekivon shenizbazu be'enav eino yroidef achareyim v'leyoysan. Since the mitzvahs for him are meaningless and valueless, he scorns them, he loathes them, he mocks them, he's cynical about them, he will not pursue them, he won't do them. V'im lo yaseh b'me yizaka. And if he doesn't engage in the actions of mitzvahs, how will he become refined in order to be able to do tshuva? Which means a person who becomes cynical about all the mitzvahs, it breeds apathy, indifference. My heart becomes plugged, and therefore I will lack naturally the inspiration, the inner refinement and clarity that will inspire me to become a better person. Dalet, v'hamavazer rabbeisav, somebody who humiliates, who embarrasses his masters, his teachers. Shadavar zeh goyrim lehem ledach v'yolatardai. This causes them to reject him. Ki Yeshua ukegechazi. He gives two examples in Jewish history. One is Yeshu, oisi ayish, yashke Yeshu hanoitzu. The Gemara says in Saita daf mem zayin that his Rebbe Yeshua ben Prachya rejected him. And ultimately, history was changed. And the next person was Gehazi, who was a disciple of Elisha Hanavi. And he humiliated his Rebbe. Instead of calling him my teacher, he called him by his name. Elisha rejected him as well. And the Rambam says, "Ubizman shenitrot." And when you removed from the influence of your Rebbe, lo yimtza melamed umayr lo derech emes, you will not find a teacher, a mentor, somebody to guide you down the path of truth. So this person who is humiliating his teacher, he's embarrassing his teacher, he's showing disdain and disrespect to his teacher, he can't be there as a student. It's not productive for him, it's not productive for the teacher, it's not productive for all the other students. So therefore, he's going to be removed, he's going to be rejected. And what happens now? He has no teacher, no guide, no mentor who will teach him how to live and how to do tshuva. Hey, hasoinia satoichichas, somebody who loathes, he hates rebuke. Somebody who cannot deal even with constructive criticism. Shelo yiniach lo derech tshuva. He doesn't allow himself to go on a path of tshuva. Why? Sha'teichacha geremes l'tshuva. It's rebuke. It's critique that causes a person to grow. Shebizman shemedien lo l'adam chatav machlimin oisei, chayzer b'tshuva. When you notify a person about his mistakes, about where he went wrong, and you shame him, you show him the shame in it, then there is hope that he can transform his life. He can create a different destiny for himself. But if I am allergic to constructive criticism, if I right away become defensive or confrontational or passive aggressive, or I run away from you, or I simply cannot deal with it in one form or another, I have sealed my own path to tshuva. I remain stuck in the quagmire of my own paralysis, my blind spots, and my bias. The Torah teaches us in Parshas Ekev, Moshe Rabbeinu before his passing rebukes the Jewish people. He says, "Schayr al tishkach v'chuli." Remember what has happened. Remember your mistakes. Mamri meyisim im Hashem v'chuli. How you have been rebellious against Hashem. Later in Parshas Kisavai, loy nosen Hashem lechem leiv ladas v'chuli. Hashem has not given you a heart to know and appreciate all the kindness you have experienced. Or later in Parshas Hazinu, am novel v'loy chacham. You are an ungrateful nation and often behave in an unwise way. V'chen Yeshayo v'chiyaches Yisrael. Generations later, Yeshaya Hanavi once again rebukes the Jewish people. V'amar, and he says the opening of Yeshaya, Chapter 1, Hoi, Goy, Chayte, V'chulu. Woe, here is a sinful nation, or a few verses later, Yada, Shar, Kaineu, even an ox knows the one who acquired it, and yet my nation does not know its master. Further in Yeshayo, Perik Memches, mi daiti ki kashat, I am aware of how stubborn you are. V'chein tzivo ha-keilo hechiach l'chatoyim. Hashem indeed instructed Yeshaya ha-Navi to rebuke the sinners. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Yeshaya Perik Memches, it's the haftorah of Yom Kippur. Kro v'goron al tachsoich, kashofer harim keilecha v'hageid la'ami pisham alabes Yaakov chatoysam. Hashem says to Yeshaya, call out with your throat, do not refrain. Lift your voice like a ram's horn and tell my nation about its transgressions. All of the prophets have communicated words of rebuke and encouragement to the Jewish people until they inspired them to repent. Therefore, every Jewish community is responsible to nominate a very wise person, an elderly, mature human being who's respected, of somebody who's fearful of God from his youth, and somebody who's beloved to them, that he should teach the public, he should inspire the public, he should rebuke the public and bring them to tshuva. It's fascinating to see the criteria the Rambam sets for this person. Number one, he has to be chacham gadol. He has to be very wise. Number two, Zaken, he has to be mature, somebody who's respected. He has to be Yirei Shamayim and Uruf, somebody who is truly scrupulous, a truly God-fearing person, a person of absolute authenticity, integrity, and sincerity. And the last criteria the Rambam says is they have to love him. He has to be a beloved human being. He is the one who could inspire and often rebuke the people. Now we go back to our individual, this person who hates, he loathes words of rebuke. He will never come to this person to listen to him. And even if he comes, he won't listen. He'll go in from one ear, he'll go out from another ear, he'll fall asleep, or he'll be busy developing his counter-argument to prove him wrong. So what's going to happen? He's going to remain stuck in his sins because in his eyes, his actions are actually very good and moral. In other words, the Rambam says he may be innocent and erroneous. He has blind spots. People often cannot be aware of their own traumas, of their own skeletons, of their own setbacks, of their own fears and insecurities, their egos, their motivations, their inner impulses. You need somebody outside of yourself, somebody who's objective and loving and real, who's going to share with you authentically what is going on in your life. That is the prerequisite for growth. But this person who's soine esatechachis, he cannot deal with anybody telling him anything, even if it's 100% true, unfortunately will remain in this spot, thinking that he is the best person in the world, he's the best human being, he's the greatest father, he's the greatest husband, when really his path is leading to the abyss. Halacha Gimel. Umehen chamish advarim. There are another five sins that ha'oisa oisan e'ef shalosh yashav tshuva gemura. Somebody who commits them simply, even if he wants to, can usually not do a complete tshuva. L'fishen avon neshe ben adam l'chaveideh. Because these are sins between a person and another person. And as he will say, these are types of transgressions that people do where I don't know who I hurt. So therefore, I can't give him back the money that I have taken. And I can't apologize to him because I don't know who I have to apologize to. So here the problem is, in these next five sins, the person may want to do tshuva. He may start doing tshuva, but to really achieve complete tshuva may sadly be impossible. Ve'eluhen. Here are the five. Aleph ha-makalalas harabim. Somebody who curses, not an individual, but he curses the community. Let's say he curses the masses. He curses all the people of a city or of a country. It's not like he cursed an individual that he can go apologize to him. Beis, hachaylik ha-maganav. Somebody who splits with a thief, meaning a thief steals goods and he brings it to this person, and this person is a customer. He'll buy from him. Obviously, he gives him a good price. Even if he wants to do tshuva, what is he going to do now? He doesn't know who this theft belongs to because this thief has stolen from many people, brought him the goods, and he's a wonderful client and customer. Now you want to do tshuva. How are you going to do tshuva? You have to find every victim of this thief. How are you going to do that? Furthermore, in addition to that, by buying from him, by being his customer, he emboldened and empowered the thief and caused him to sin. Who knows how many acts of thievery this ganav was involved in because he knew he has a customer like you who will ultimately accept and pay him for the stolen goods. Gimel, you find a lost object, halachically, you have to announce publicly that you found a lost object so that the owner could come and identify it by the signs and you'll give it back to him. But you like it and therefore you decide not to return it. Now what happens? L'achas man k'shayasa tshuva. After a while, you decide you want to do tshuva any day l'miyachza. You may never be able to figure out who you should return it to because the owner may not be here anymore or he may have forgotten the identifying signs. He has given up on it and therefore you will never be able to fully do tshuva for this. Dalit, ha'eichel shaydaniyim v'yisaymin v'almanis. Somebody who eats from the theft of poor people, of orphans and of widows, because elu bnei adam umlalinhein. These are people who have suffered terribly. Ve'einan yiduinim ufersamin. They are not public figures. They're not famous. V'goylim me'ir li'ir. Because of their poverty and challenges in life, they often relocate from one city to another city. Ve'ein lehem makir. They don't have protectia. They don't have many friends and acquaintances and a network of people who stand up for them. K'dei she'yeda shoydzer shal mi'u v'yachziren aloy. So that the thief will be able to always know whose theft this is and ultimately return it to him. They may have left the city and there's nobody in their family or an affluent person who is protesting what happened, and therefore you always know how to make amends for this. These are people you hurt and you may never be able to pay back the damage or to apologize. Hey, hamakabel shaychad lahatas din, somebody who accepts a bribe in order to render a verdict towards the benefit of the person who gave you the bribe. Why can't you do tshuva for this? Rambam says something fascinating. You will never know how powerful this bribe was and how much it caused you to distort justice and how many people were affected by it, k'deisha yachzir, so that you should be able to compensate the victims. You know why? Shahadavo yeshlay raglayim. Because your verdict actually has a rational basis. You see, when I take a bribe, it's not like I render a verdict and I know that I'm lying. No. My mind starts playing games with me and I will rationalize and justify my decisions based on the bribe. The bribe, in other words, makes me emotionally involved and it becomes an issue of confirmation bias. I will already figure out why this person is for sure right, irrelevant of the bribe. I will never have the ability to truly be introspective and honest and know if my verdict was true or false, because if it was false, I will have to pay back the person who lost money as a result of my verdict. So the Rambam says, when you take bribes, it's not just you have to apologize to Hashem for doing something wrong. No, you do not know how many times you have perverted justice and therefore how many people you may owe lots of money. Furthermore, by taking a bribe, you have emboldened and empowered the one who gave you a bribe and caused him to sin. He realizes now that he could continue giving bribes to get his own way. So how many other distortions and perversions of justice did you cause? Even when you want to do tshuva, it becomes extremely difficult and sometimes impossible. There are another five sins that if you commit them, you are unlikely to do tshuva. Because these are sins that most people dismiss them as insignificant and valueless. So what happens here is you're engaging in sin, but you don't realize that you did anything wrong. And now if I don't realize that I did anything wrong, how can I do tshuva? The prerequisite for tshuva is the awareness that I have to change. The awareness that there's something toxic and immoral, but if nothing is immoral, there's no room for tshuva. Ve'elu hein, here is the list of the next five sins. Ha'eichel misuda she'ena maspekes l'ba'ala, somebody who eats a meal which is insufficient for its master, she'zeh avak gozel. This is a form of theft. It's the dust of theft. He says to himself, I never sinned. He says, Kluma chalti ala b'rishusan. I ate with their permission, which means, say you come to a community, you come to a city, you come to a relative, and somebody invites you to their home for a meal. Now you know this is, he's a poor person, but he's embarrassed. He wants to show hospitality. He wants to show kindness. He doesn't want to humiliate himself. He doesn't want to display his poverty. So he gives you a nice portion of food. Now you know that by eating this food, he will remain hungry. His wife will remain hungry. His children will remain hungry. But you eat it nonetheless. But you know that this is a meal that's insufficient for its owner. You may justify it and rationalize and say, oh, what do you want from me? I didn't steal the food. He gave it to me. This is something that people don't look like. Doesn't seem to them as a sin, but the Rambam says this is a chet. Somebody who uses the collateral that was given to him by a poor person who borrowed money from him. Usually, what is the collateral that a poor person will give you when he borrows money from you? He'll give you a hatchet, he'll give you a hoe, which are simple instruments. So when you utilize, when you use them without his permission, you may tell yourself, I'm not causing them depreciation, I'm not ruining them, and therefore I didn't steal anything. But the truth is you did steal, because you may cause them to depreciate, number one. And number two, usually people rent out these tools and you're not paying him money for them. You're not paying him money to use them. You have them as collateral, so you're allowed to keep them in your domain, but you're not allowed to use them without his permission. This is a form of theft, but you dismiss it as insignificant. Gimel, hamestakel barayis, somebody who gazes at women who he is forbidden to have an intimate relationship with them. My lal daita, he says to himself, ein bekach klum, what's the big deal? Who oimer? He says, v'chiba'alti akarafti, that I have intimacy with them, that I get physically close to them. I just looked at them. What's the big deal? It doesn't seem like a great sin. V'eni edeya, he's unaware, shiri'iya sayinayim avayin gadol, that gazing with your eyes at people or images that are inappropriate constitute a great transgression. This is immoral. The immorality doesn't begin with the physical contact, with the physical intimacy. The immorality begins with the gaze, because this is what brings and causes the actual acts of promiscuity and immoral relationship. The Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, the end of Kriya Shema, do not go astray after your hearts, and the Pasuk continues, and after your eyes, because it's the eyes that entice and incite the heart. Dalit, hamischabed b'kloin chavere. Somebody who gleans popularity at the expense of embarrassing his friend. You know, I'm sitting with a couple of chevra, and I make a good joke about somebody. He gets humiliated in the process, and I become Mr. Popular. The Rambam says, oimer b'libo yishein eichet. Person may tell himself in his heart, this is not a sin. L'fishein chavere oimet. My friend is not standing there. V'lo yigi oloi boishas. And therefore, he was not ashamed. If I shamed him in public, then I can understand that it's very sinful. As he discussed in the previous chapter, if you're accustomed to embarrassing people in public, you forfeit your portion in the world to come. But he's not here. I made a joke at his expense. Okay. So I became Mr. Popular. I become elevated in the eyes of the people who laughed at my joke. But he wasn't humiliated. Furthermore, it could be a situation where I didn't even say anything embarrassing about him. I didn't humiliate him, meaning even if he's not here, I didn't say anything negative about him. You know what happened? He basically showed the contrast between his own wonderful actions and his own brilliant wisdom, in contrast to his friend's actions and his friend's wisdom, which basically from that, it demonstrated how respectable of a person he is, and his friend is less of is of less standing. Okay, so basically I'm telling a story and I'm saying how this person responded, what he did, what his thought process, and what I did. And when people see the contrast, basically my popularity, my image is elated, I become validated, and I feel affirmation from the other people. This doesn't seem like a sin. What did I do? I didn't harm the person, I didn't humiliate the person, and I'm never going to do tshuva. The last thing is, hey, ha-choshet k'shedim, somebody who suspects fine moral people, upstanding moral people, he suspects them in sin. Again, I say to myself, it's not a sin. He says, "Mel sisilai, what did I do to him? I didn't steal from him. I didn't cause him any harm. I was suspicious of him. Maybe he committed the crime. Maybe he didn't commit the crime. And he doesn't know that this is a sin. You're taking a person who's an erlich person, somebody who's kosher, who's a fine person, and in your mind, you decided that he may be filled with sins. That's inappropriate. If you need to ask him questions, ask him questions. If you need to confront him, confront him. If you need to make an investigation, make an investigation. But to be choshed b'kshedim, to come to conclusions, even if it's not a conclusion, but you start experiencing suspicion and negative thoughts about somebody who may not deserve this, doesn't seem like a sin, but the Rambam says it is. Halacha hey. In the fifth halacha, the Rambam is going to give us the last five items of these 24 items discussed in this chapter. Umehen, and from these 24 items, chamisha dvarim. There is a unit, a group of four items that ha'oisa oisam. those who commit them, yimoshech achareihem tamid. There is a danger that the person will become addicted to them. V'kashim heim lifresh mehem. They are very difficult to get away from. Once you begin engaging in these acts, it's very easy to become entrenched and submerged, and it's very hard to extricate yourself from it. Lefichach, therefore, tzarech adam lehizayir mehem. Therefore, a person has to be very careful from these sins. Shema yidbak behen. He may become too connected to them. Vehin kulon deyis rayis ad ma'oit. And these are all very destructive characteristics in life. Ve'eluhen, and here is the list. Rechilus. Rechilus means tail-bearing, as we learned in Hilchis Deis. Somebody who goes to somebody else and says, ooh, you know what X, Y, and Z said about you? You know what he told somebody else about you? You know what he did because of you? You know what he thinks of you? You know what I heard him say about you? You know what somebody else told me he said about you? Now, as the Rambam said, it's not necessarily a bad story. Yankel may have not done anything wrong. In fact, he may actually think what he did was completely right. But you know that sharing these stories and anecdotes and vignettes can create suspicion, animosity, strife, misunderstandings, divisiveness. This is called rechilus. The next attribute is, the next behavior is called lashon hara. Lashon hara literally means evil speech. This is when I share with somebody or with other people negative stories about somebody else. The third one is obal chema, somebody who has a bad temper. He's always getting angry. The next is bal machshava ra, somebody who's just filled with toxic thoughts. I allow my brain to be filled with negative, toxic, destructive thoughts about myself and about other people. You understand why these things become so addictive, because we're not even aware of it. It just becomes a lifestyle. I'm just ayenta, sharing stories with other people about what other people said about them. Lashon hara, I'm gossiping, I'm slandering, getting angry. It just becomes part of my life, and it's so hard to extricate myself from it, and therefore the Rambam says, so difficult to do tshuva, and the same is true with machshava ra, when you're thinking bad about other people and just thinking destructive thoughts. And the last thing is v'hamischaber l'rasha, somebody who connects with somebody else who lives a destructive life. You connect with toxicity and you become toxic. Because naturally, you will be affected. You will be influenced. You will learn from his actions. And furthermore, they will become imprinted, engraved in your heart. The Rambam says two things. When you associate, when you connect to Rishayim, two things happen. First of all, you learn from their actions. But even more than that, perhaps on a subconscious level or on a conscious level, their attitudes, their perspectives, their behaviors, and their outlook at life becomes imprinted in your heart consciously and maybe even more so unconsciously. Hushamar Shlaima. This is what Shlaima Melech was referring to when he said in Mishle Perek Yud Gimel, V'royach Silim Yeraya, somebody who shepherds among the fools, he himself will become broken as a result. In other words, you have to really look who you're hanging out with, who do you spend time with, who are your closest friends and acquaintances. And we already explained in Hilchis Deis in the first chapter and in the subsequent chapters, Dvarim Shetzarech Kol Adam Linig Behen Tamid. Those qualities that a person should constantly cultivate in his life in terms of dispositions, in terms of characters, character traits, in terms of behaviors, kal v'chaymer lebal tshuva. This was true about every single individual, but certainly for the bal tshuva who the Rambam is addressing in this section of Hilchis Tshuva. And with this, the Rambam concluded the 24 types of sins which make it very difficult for a person to do tshuva. The first group, the first four sins, were those types of sins that dull your sensitivity. It's hard for you to find the inspiration. Hashem doesn't help you and motivate you to do tshuva. The second group of sins is you segregate yourself from people and influences that might have a positive effect and inspire you to do tshuva. The third group is another five sins where you could never fully make amends because it's ways, it's things that you have done that damaged other people's lives and you may never fully be able to compensate them for their loss. The fourth group of five sins is doing things that don't seem significant and valuable, they seem insignificant, and therefore you're not likely to do tshuva because you may not even consider them sinful. And the last group that the Rambam enumerated in Halacha Hey was things that are so addictive that once we become entrenched in them, it's very difficult for us to extricate our lives from these destructive habits, behaviors, patterns, and characteristics. I would just like to add, with your permission, I think some people learn such a chapter in Rambam and their hearts swell with guilt and negative feelings and despair and self-loathing, etc. But if I may say, I find this chapter in Rambam extremely inspiring because it really demonstrates how the halacha believes in the potential of every one of us to live a great life, to live a truly wholesome, meaningful, pure, pristine, inspiring, and uplifting life. The Rambam said in the introduction to Mishneh Torah, this Sefer was written as a blueprint for life for every single Jew, kakot and kagadol, for the great and for the small, for the young and for the old. So halacha really believes that we have the potential to be able to examine our lives, to be able to get rid of all of those toxic influences and forces that break our souls, that shatter our innocence, that take us to places that alienate us from our truest, deepest, infinite, divine core and potential. And I think this is a tremendous opportunity and really a blueprint, a map. The Rambam said, the Rambam is telling us, take a look at your life and then take a look, make a list of these 24 items that we discussed in Perek Dalet and ask yourself, have any of these crept into your life? Are any of these part of my life? Am I falling prey to any of these types of behaviors or characteristics? Maybe out of habit and I'm not even aware of it. Maybe in a more subtle way. Maybe I'm not aware of it. But let me actually examine these 24 things and see if and how I can get rid of them. Am I maybe that person who cannot deal with constructive criticism? I run away from anyone who does not give me affirmation and validation. Maybe I'm doing it in a very, very subtle way, in a very deceptive way. So this is an opportunity to be able to examine my life and be able to remove all of the moral infections and diseases so that you and I can truly live up to our extraordinary divine potential. Halacha Vav, the last halacha. Kalelu advarim v'kayotzeb. All these things, all these 24 things that we spoke about, and anything similar to them. Even though they create obstacles for tshuva, but they can't prevent you from tshuva. Obstacles, yes. Barriers, yes. Difficulties, yes. But to say that any of these sins can become an excuse for me to say, oh, I'm a lost case, forget it. No. If a person did tshuva from any of these 24 things, hareza bal tshuva. This human being is considered a bal tshuva, a master of tshuva, v'yeshli chelik loylam haba, and he has his portion in the world to come. Even those situations where Hashem is not going to help you, but you could push your way through. And even when there's a lock on the door, you can break the lock. And even if you can't do complete tshuva, you can't do complete tshuva, but you'll try hard, and you'll do the best you can, even if it won't be complete, you're still considered a bal tshuva. And even if it's things that people take lightly, but you can break that habit. Even if it's things that are addictive, you can transcend that, and you could become a bal tshuva.